But we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos, for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We just thank you so much for your love. We realize that and understand what that cost you. You demonstrated by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross. To die on the cross for my sins, Father. But not only did you send Jesus to shed his precious blood, and that he was buried and rose again, living and interceding for us today, but as Jesus taught us in John, that you sent the Holy Spirit. And for everyone that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God resides. And through the Spirit of God, we have understanding of the Word of God. And we thank you so much for that. Father, that you didn't leave us alone. Father, that you gave us what we need to be able to sustain and live this life, even to the difficulties and the struggles that we come against. Now, Father, as we look at this passage this morning, reminding that Paul and his love for these people, he had a desire to help them, to put them on the path of godliness and holiness and righteousness, even in this present world. Father, help us as we look at this, that you would speak to hearts. And Father, you would guide and direct in our lives, and help us when we leave this place to learn something that we can apply today and for the rest of our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we saw in our passage here, he talked about those rewards. He's talking to Christians here, people who are born again, who have trusted Christ as their Savior, and they're struggling in their walk, and so he's trying to help them and encourage them. And the fact that he talks about these different building materials, he's just trying to reveal to them there are some things that are important and some things that are not. And it's easy, because Satan, who is the god of this world, is easy to misguide us and misdirect us to those things that aren't important. And a lot of times we spend all our time on those and very little time on the things that are important. So he's given a warning. And he told us in this passage, he said, yes, you're going to be saved, but you know, if you don't have anything to show for your work for the Lord, that's going to be burned up. But yet you will be saved as though the fire You'll be saved by the skin of your teeth because you put your faith and trust in Christ. And that's all it takes. That's what's so marvelous about this. Anybody who thinks they that their works are going to save them, this is a clear passage that teaches that it doesn't. Because if your works are burned up and you're still saved, obviously salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. I like that. That is a confirmation again to me that as a born-again Christian, I'm going to be with the Father forever and ever and ever. And so he's teaching us this, and then he goes and he starts in verse 16. This is kind of where we left off. He says, well, actually, we left off in verse 19, I think. But anyway, verse 16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, he's not talking about the individual here. It seems that way. In fact, I've taught it that way myself. He's talking about the body of believers because the context is the body here of believers. And so he's talking about the body is the temple of God. Our body, local body here, is the temple of God. He goes on, he talks about this. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Then he says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We are holy. When you accept Christ as your Savior, God looks down and he says to me, he said, Bruce, you're holy. Now, that's great. I love that. I'm excited about that. But now I've got to live this life that God's called me to live. And I have the manual right here. I have the guidance right here. Here's the instructions. And I just got to find out how to apply those. How do I use this? A lot of people come to church, they hear the preacher, they go home, and they don't really think about these things. Now, I'm not talking about any certain individuals. I don't know. I know that I've done that. And it's like, okay, that was a good sermon, but I'm going home and whatever. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to change our lives, to leave this place with a different attitude, different mindset, with our heart right with God, and find out, Lord, what's my next step? And then open the manual and find out the rest of the week as you're at home by yourself with your God and your Bible. That's what God wants to do for us. Verse 18, he says, let no man deceive himself. This is easy. It's easy. It's easy for a preacher. It's easy for a Sunday school teacher to deceive themselves. I'm serving God. I'm called of God to do this. And yet think of yourself more highly than you ought to, or think you're in the right place. That doesn't put you in the right place just because you're a preacher or a Sunday school teacher. What puts every person in the right place is their obedience to God. That's what does it. So it's easy to be deceived. It's easy to find ourselves in this position that we think in the sense that we're more highly. That word deceived means to seduce wholly, okay? And it's easy to be seduced in that. Proverbs 3:7, I think I've mentioned these already. Solomon, I believe, penned these words. He said, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And that's what we need to do, not to be wise in our own eyes. But he goes on and says, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. You know, a lot of people think, especially going to college, I was watching a video last night of Todd Friel is his name. And anyway, he was preaching, and I think it's in Colorado, but I'm not sure. It was open air preaching. The guy comes up to him and talks to him. He's in college. And he's learning about justice. And he says, I don't understand it. He says, now he's not a Christian, obviously, but he says, it makes no sense to me that God would send people to hell forever and ever and ever and ever for anything. And of course, Todd talks about a lot of different sins, or I guess the magnitude. And he's talking about that. And this guy, he just can't see it. Doesn't make sense to him. Why would God do that? He used a good illustration. He talked about a child. If you told a child a lie, you know, what would happen? Well, the child probably wouldn't know the difference. If you told your wife a lie, well, she'd find out and you'd be in trouble. You told your boss a lie, you're probably going to get fired. You go tell the government a lie, you're going to jail, you know. So each authority has more authority, if you will. And so God, who is the ultimate authority, has the right to do whatever he wants. But this guy couldn't do it. Why? Because he was wise in this world. He was wise in the things of this world. And he made that statement. I am in his sociology class, I guess, or maybe it's a psychology class. I don't know. But they taught us about norms and morals. And maybe some of you have been to college and taught some of these things. Basically, is what the society accepts at the time. That's what these things are. And so he's saying, well, man is the one who ought to judge man. Again, the wisdom of this world. He says in verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written. So now he's going to quote scripture. He's going back to the Old Testament. How important it is to quote the Bible or teach the Bible. It's very important because it's God's word. My words fall on deaf ears. They don't mean a whole lot. God's words are holy. They're set apart. They're given to us to know that the God Almighty has spoken these things that we might understand them and apply them. And so here he's quoting scripture. And he goes back to the Old Testament. Let me get back to that page. So this was the first part he quotes here is in Job. Job chapter 5 verse 13 says, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the forward is carried headlong. That's a quote from Job. And then he says, verse 20 says, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. That comes from Psalm 94:11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, and they are vanity. So he's taking Old Testament scripture, which Paul knew. He grew up in the church. They taught these things. And so he's going back to the Old Testament and trying to teach these folks some things that are important. Why? Because they were wise in their own eyes. They were filled with pride. They thought, I know what's best. I know the right direction for my life. Yes, they were Christians, but they were struggling. He said, therefore, let no man glory in men. And so why is he talking about this? Again, it brings us back to the whole point of the beginning of this book, of the divisions, that some were following Cephas, some were following Paul, some Apollos, and some the Lord Jesus Christ, he said. But they were divided on who was their authority, who was their leader. And we know in this church that the leader is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That's who we follow. Why? Because we love him. And we're going to do what he says. And that's exactly where they were struggling, because they had one guy saying this. But actually, Paul and Apollos probably said very similar things, but maybe Apollos was elegant. Remember, in the Bible, he was a very good speaker. Maybe he thought, well, he's a good speaker. I like him. I'm going to follow him. Paul was not. In fact, he made that statement he wasn't. And so maybe some thought, well, he's not as eloquent. I like Apollos over Paul. That is a wrong choice to choose who your pastor is or your Sunday school teacher. That's a wrong choice. It's not about their personality as much as what they say that the Word of God says. That's where you go. What does the Bible say? Thus saith the Lord. And so they were struggling in this. And they were having a hard time. You know, I've seen it over and over again. You have too. That churches will follow a man. I've seen churches who their pastor left and half the people left. I was in one of those churches. They just went. Why? Because they liked the preacher and they didn't want the preacher to leave, and they chose to leave themselves. That's a wrong reason. So we're not to boast of men. And of course, Paul is pointing back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. We won't go there. In chapter 3, verses 4 and 7, he said, verse 4, he says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, and I like this. This is the important aspect. God gave the increase. This is God's work. This is God doing the work. Spirit-led Christians do God's work. That's the way it works. So these, and Paul is making the statement, he says, therefore let no man glory in men. You're not to follow God, he says in the rest of that verse, for all things are yours. And he's saying, we don't look to man, but we look to God. And we want to follow him, because God is going to give us all things. He promised that. And he's going to do that for us. But he's also making the statement that even though we're not looking and following man, God uses men. God uses Apollos. God used Cephas. God used Paul. And they all were probably speaking the same things, maybe in a different way or maybe less eloquent than the other, but God was going to use them. And that's what's important. We want to follow Spirit-filled men We want to follow them. Why? Because they're going to teach and preach the right things. You know, Timothy, he talked about this, about having your ears tickled. You know, a lot of people are looking for that kind of a church. They want to feel good when they leave. They want to feel like, boy, I'm doing everything right, even though they're living in sin, even though the sin didn't even come up in the sermon. I tell you, you can't get away from the Bible and not say something about sin. You can't even say the gospel without teaching about sin. It's impossible, because the gospel is what saves us from that very thing, sin. So Paul is saying, verse 22, he's talking, as I just mentioned, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. God has given you these folks. Ephesians tells us in Ephesians 4:11 that he gave some apostles and, let me quote it. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give those? We know, because we say it all the time, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So why is the church exist? Well, Jesus established it in Matthew chapter 16. He established it to do the work on this earth. That's what he said. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. And he told his disciples in John chapter 20, he says, so send I you. And that's what Paul is teaching here, is the fact that we're here to help you so you can carry on the work of the ministry. This morning as I was praying, I was thinking of Theo. Theo, he's got a radio station, three churches. Okay, he's ministering to. I don't know the distance between those churches. But they've been locked down for a little while. And of course, I'm praying that God will open the door, that this COVID-19 thing will go away or whatever, and that he'll give opportunity to train those people in those churches so they can go out and do the work of the ministry. That's where the ministry, Theo can't do it by himself. It's going to take the people in his church to go out and share the gospel and teach people. And that's what we're all to do. Verse 23, he says, and ye are Christ, talking to this body of believers, just as we are, and Christ is God's. So that whole idea that we are Christ, you know, it's that idea that, yes, we are bought with a price. Yes, we are to glorify God in our body. And we're to live this life, which is different. It's different. See, America, and this is a burden I have, and God's dealing with me, folks. And you just happen to get to catch it all. I'm sorry. But as I look at this life, I keep thinking, what's this really about? What is this really about? And the more I come to the conclusion that it's not about the things that are in this world other than the people that are lost in this world. Jesus didn't come to save so I could go and have all the things in the world. He came to save so I would be saved and help others be saved as well. It's a whole different mindset. It's a whole different process. And God has done that for us. No matter what happens in our lives. When we saw Paul, he talked about this verse 22. Doesn't that remind us of Romans chapter 8? We just finished up. Where he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. It's right in there, isn't it? A lot of that's mentioned in Romans chapter 8, the last couple of verses, 38 and 9. And that's what he's talking about. And all things are yours. And we know that. Romans chapter 8 tells us that. It speaks to that whatever we do, right? Whatever we do. Let me turn there and read it again. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's what he's saying here when he says all things are yours. And they are. And God has provided those things. And he gives us everything we need. My problem is, I want more. Things that aren't important. I want those things. I want to have maybe this or that or whatever. I'm not going to mention items for sake of not offending anybody. But there's a lot of things out there we drive ourselves to work hard for to get. And they're useless. And they're not good for anything as it comes to that gold, silver, and precious stones. So Jesus was praying, and he prayed in John chapter 17, verse 19. It says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. That's our purpose, isn't it? To glorify Jesus Christ, to glorify God. He said in John 17, 21, in that prayer also, he said, that they all may be one, that's unification, that's what Paul's trying to teach in 1 Corinthians, that they all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that is, we're in Christ and we're in God the Father, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. My purpose here on this earth is to show people that God has sent me. Jesus was sent. I'm to glorify Jesus Christ, that people would know that he was sent to die for their sins. That's why we're here. That's my purpose in my life, or should be. I'm not saying it is, because I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I do everything right, but that's no excuse. Because when I stand before God, which we all will, we're going to give an account, and that's what Paul is writing about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is we're going to give an account on how we decided to live our lives as Christians. And of course, 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul wrote, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that's what we're trying to live our lives for, is to glorify God. How much do you love God? It's always evident in what we do and how we walk with him. That's how we demonstrate our love for God. When people see us coming, do they see Jesus, or do they see me and my conceits and my pride and my vanity? Probably often it's my pride and vanity is what they see. So anyway, he goes on, and we're just going to read the first two verses, and we'll start this next Sunday. We'll go ahead, because we got started a little bit earlier, we'll go ahead and close. But it's really, the subject's the same. It's together, but I'm just going to read the first two verses. He says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. This week when you go home, I'd like you to open your Bibles and study those two passages and think on those. Because these are important. Now, he's talking about himself and Apollos and Cephas and this whole thing that he is a minister, but he's also speaking to us. Faithful is a key of the Christian life. Faithful to the things of God. When we're not faithful, we demonstrate how little we love our Lord. And I'm not trying to step on toes, because mine are burning right now. I want to be faithful. I want my life to matter for the things of Christ, because this world's not going to matter when I leave it. And the things in it aren't. But what's going to matter is that the people I come in contact, they know that Jesus loves them. Or God loves them. Jesus died for them. And God has a plan for them to spend eternity with him. And it's not my job to save anybody. It's my job to convince them by what God has done in my life, that they too might know Christ. And if I'm not willing to live this life according to the Scriptures, I'm going to have a hard time convincing anybody. Because if they look at me and say, oh, all the worldly stuff, you got it, then how am I going to tell them it's wrong when the Bible says it's wrong, if that's our focus in this life? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have things, and you know that. I'm saying it's wrong for things to have you. And it's easy for it to happen. You can look how much time we spend with the things, and how much time, just compare it, how much time you spend with the manual. And that will determine where your love is. Does that make sense? I know nobody wants to say, yeah, or check, but think about it. Now, I'm not saying you got to sit down and read 6 hours. I'm saying you need to be reading it every day, a little bit at a time, to get this in me. I've read the Bible several times through, and I still got to read it to get something out, because there's so much there. And it's new every day. And it's important for us to do that. Well, let's go ahead and pray and ask God to bless our time together. Help us to look to him, be unified in the things of Christ, knowing that he's coming back, and it could be any time. All we have is today. We don't know what another day will bring forth. I live like there's tomorrow. I live like there's next week. I live like there's 2 years left. I don't know if that's true or not. Don't know. All I know is this is the day I have. And this is the day I get to walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. Father, I pray that you would help us each one. Help me, Father, to have the right focus. As we study the Word of God, we know the purpose that we're here for. Help us to be challenged and help us to have that desire to move in that direction. Father, you would fill each one of us with your Spirit. Help us learn the Word of God and be able to share it. We don't have much time. Individually, we don't know how long we have. But collectively, we don't know because the Lord could come back at any time. Father, help us to be prayer warriors. Help us to be on the front lines of the things of God, that others may know you. We thank you again for your love for each one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.